This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
They expect me to walk away from Luton with nothing. I'll make very sure there's nothing to walk away from.
Hello and welcome to the Oak Road Hatter podcast. I'm Billy Mully, joined by Jamie Castle, Finlay Cannon and Lewis Jones ahead of Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Luton Town this coming Saturday. Pressure is well and truly on. We felt it last week against Brentford, but if we think that was bad, then the pressure's ramped up even more this week. First of all, Jamie, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. It's nice to have a full cohort. It's after a few twos and threes, so looking forward to a full pod. Recording early in the week as well, which is always tough to preview a Saturday game on a Tuesday. So a lot can happen between now and then, but let's do it.
And interestingly, Wolves still have to play tomorrow. So we're recording Tuesday, they've got to play tomorrow. So a lot of what we say today might be out of date come the weekend, but stick with us, please. Finlay, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Like Jamie said, it's a slightly different day to be recording on ahead of the weekend, but sitting with Arsenal-Chelsea on in the background as well to see what the team that we should have beaten, really, in Chelsea.
And Lewis, how are you?
All good, thanks, mate. Recovered from the weekend, so good to go again for Wolves.
I'm glad I missed that one. Horrible, horrible, horrible. I don't dislike Brentford, but they persistently bully us on the football pitch. And it's ridiculous that we've had so many horrible defeats to a club that, you know, looking at the league table, we're not too far away from where we are. But it's always a difficult pill to swallow against Brentford. Of course, this is the Wolves preview. We've played them twice. I say twice this season, once in pre-season, once, of course, at Kenilworth Road. Game at Kenilworth Road, finished 1-1, Wolves playing the majority of the game with 10 men. Found it difficult to break them down. At the start of the season, I remember kind of bringing them into the conversation of being potential relegation candidates. But Gary O'Neill has led them safely to mid-table, and they've even got their sights on the top 10, which is really impressive considering where a lot of the Premier League fans would have kind of placed them at the start of the campaign. Jamie, coming to you first, looking at this game, is it one that we can't afford to lose? Is it must win? What do you classify this one as?
I sort of take what Edward said in the last press conference, right, where is it a must win? No, because technically, mathematically, if we do lose and others win, we won't go down, right? So it's not a must win, but clearly I think it's important to not lose it. It's important to get something. Looking at the table, I mean, being 1 point off with four games to go, not knowing at the minute what's happening with the Forest points deduction appeal, every point matters, especially as well that we're behind on the goal difference. So even just to get a draw at Wolves, and on the assumption that obviously Forest host City at the weekend, on the assumption that they don't beat City, or if they lose to City, we can be on equal points with three to go, with a massive home game at home to Everton on the Friday. So I think it's really important to get something. Certainly possible. I think I don't think we can use anything from the two games that we played against them this season. Obviously, clearly pre-season, so that's a bit of a write-off anyway. And then both sides are just completely different to what we were back in, what was it, September. Us especially, without looking at the team, I assume Barkley probably wasn't there, nor was Sambi, or if they were, sort of not fully up to speed. And just other players that just weren't quite there. I mean, Mengi probably wasn't up to speed either. So we're a completely different side to the way we played back then. And not just personnel, but tactically. Clearly, we were this much more direct side coming up from the Championship to the Premier League. And lots has been said about the sort of team that we are transitioning into. You can't really use those last two games we played. Hopefully, we are much better than them in terms of improvement since September, and it'd be a really, really interesting game on Saturday, especially given injuries to them as well. Just hopefully that they're missing their key players still. I think Cunha's the one that probably frightens me the most.
And Finn mentioned at the top of the show that Wolves are a side that a lot of people considered the potential relegation candidates at the start of the season. Gary O'Neill, still there were a lot of question marks at the start of the season to the kind of manager he was. Of course, done a really good job to fire Bournemouth to safety, and then obviously his job was taken from him, and then he was appointed at Wolves. Somewhat of a weird appointment, I think, at the time, but he's gone on to do really, really well, playing a good brand of football as well. And as we sit here now, they're 11th with 43 points. 1 point off Brighton in 10th place. So a top half finish is on the cards for them. So as much as you look at them and say there's not much to play for, finishing in the top 10 for a club like Wolves would be a fantastic achievement and something I'm sure that they're striving towards.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people did write them off at the start of the season. I think they were a real unknown going into the season, particularly after they lost some key players, particularly in Ruben Neves as well. They weren't really able to reinvest for FFP reasons, I believe. So I think Gary O'Neill will be looking to get as many points as he can, just even if they can't get into Europe or have nothing really left to play for, just almost to prove a point and prove a lot of people wrong. And his name could be in the frame for a lot of big jobs coming up in the summer. I've seen that there's been some links with Liverpool as well over the course of today. So I think he'll be really wanting to prove himself and get that top half finish. So we can't write them off at all. And we have to really be on it going into that game, because especially at home, they've been absolutely brilliant.
And Lewis, we speak of Wolves being this very good outfit. They've performed very well, probably exceeded expectations this season. But as things stand, last five games have only picked up 2 points, and we've pointed towards this injury situation that we'll come on to a little bit later. But 2 points from five games, naturally you look at that and think that's something that Luton will be targeting and something that we can try to expose and, you know, hold a bit of hope to.
Yeah, it's definitely something we can expose. I remember the game at our place, and their best players were Cunha, Lamina and Neto. And as it stands, they're currently without all three, which for us, after the Neto goal, will be an absolute delight. Like you said, they've struggled to get points and they've got no clean sheet in eight. So if we can score, they're not massive scorers themselves, so there's definitely something there for us. And it's a must not lose. Forest are very unlikely to get anything out of the City game. So any point is likely a point gained, even with the goal difference.
100%. And yeah, you get to the part of the season where, you know, our game means a lot, but at the same time, you're really starting to hone in on other fixtures. And yeah, of course, Nottingham Forest versus Man City. Massive, massive, massive hope in City. Do us a favour, of course. It's Man City first for them, and then they've got Brentford. So hopefully, two scorelines like what were dealt to us, 5-1 and 5-1, would be ideal. Brentford do owe us one, so yeah, we'll be holding them to that, of course. We mentioned as well, Jamie, just then, not best form shown by Wolves recently, but do you see that as, you know, being too much of a deciding factor when you come into this game? Are we coming to the end of the season where, you know, points don't really make much sense and you can go into a game and not really have you don't really look at the league table like you typically would?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all know that form to an extent goes out the window late on. There's teams that are fighting for everything, but whether they're fighting for the title or fighting for survival, you've got teams that hopefully for us on the beach, aka Wolves at the weekend, would be nice. Clearly, obviously, they want to get a top 10, but there's nothing tangible to fight for. I mean, a few weeks back, they were probably in that European sort of Europa League, Conference League sort of chat, but given the form recently, they've dropped out of that and now it seems very unlikely. So we hope that, I mean, albeit they'll have no pressure on them, so they can play freely and without any added pressure, but just hope that with us almost given 100%, if they have two or three players that are off it and given 80% instead, a few of them probably look into the summer maybe in terms of the Euros. It's probably a few in that squad looking at that, and then I'm not sure in terms of Copa America or other international cups and games that they're probably looking towards as well. So yeah, hopefully for us that their form continues. I think there's also a bit of a difference between form and performances. Now, I've not seen loads of Wolves in recent weeks, but I watched the full 90 against Arsenal and I thought on the whole they played pretty well, sort of no worse than what we played against the top six teams, sort of fighting to the end and creating some good chances and limiting them fairly well across the 90 minutes. So it's not like they are playing poorly. I think they're still playing at a good level, and certainly at a level that they can beat Luton Town at home, right? Let's have some perspective in terms of where they are and where we are. So either way, they're going to be a very tough battle. We're going to have to be almost 10 out of 10 to get a win. And I think if we are, and as Lewis said, that win would be huge, right? Because on the assumption Forest don't get anything at all from City, that would put us too clear with three to go, knowing that we host Everton the following Friday before they play. So that means that we could be five ahead of Forest with two to go, albeit that they'll have a game in hand, which I think just sort of the sort of psyche around that could be ginormous. And hopefully the independent commission know what's right and they take at least two more points off Forest as well, so it could be 7 points with Forest having three to play. If then they lose home to Brentford, that could be good night Nottingham Forest. But it just shows how tight it is at the minute and how things can change dramatically over the course of a week to 10 days. We could have this chat on Sunday after the Wolves game having lost to Wolves and Forest haven't got a point against City, and our moods would certainly be a lot worse. So we just have to take it game by game.
And Finn, back to Wolves. It's weird because you come to the end of the season, your perspective changes. We look at this game and think, you know, it's winnable, when maybe earlier in the season you probably don't have that same kind of viewpoint. Wolves have been very good, and we've mentioned the injury list that they've got at the moment and key individuals, of course, missing. But they recruited so well, I think, over the last few years. They've got a clear identity. They're a team that, you know, unlike Luton, where we were missing key individuals and it could really hurt us like it did, they've got the quality, I think, to bring in and still be a very similar unit to what they would be full strength. We do expect this to be a big game and a very strong test, but because we're coming to the crunch end of this campaign, is that why we view it as winnable?
Well, it's, whether it's winnable, whether it's just must win, and we have to view it as winnable because we've put ourselves into a position that every game we've got left is a pretty much a must win. So we need to go into all of them with the view that we've got to win them. But we did, we could have got a result against, well, we could have beaten them at home if it wasn't for Neto's, what I'd say was a brilliant solo effort. But you look at them and they've got a really strong spine to that team. You've got a defence that doesn't change that often, particularly with Kilman in there. I think he's a brilliant player. He's so capable on the ball and he's so solid in the air as well. And then in that midfield as well, they've got such a selection of midfielders, but they don't tend to rotate too much. But someone like Gomez in there, he's been linked with a lot of clubs as well. And I think having that sort of that settled spine to that team has really helped them throughout this season, and they've been able to really work things off that.
And Lewis, we'll go on to something now that probably deserves its own kind of segment this season, and that's our own injury list, because it has been relentless. But we also learnt one thing going into the Brentford game, and that is do not trust Rob Edwards, because he's been telling a few porkies in his press conferences. That, of course, was that there was nobody expected to play of that injury list, but they did. Lokonga was back, Osho was back, Mengi also played. Are you expecting anybody else back, considering, you know, we had that open training session where there were a few others that were on the grass? Do you think we could have anyone back?
I think the ones that are likely are probably Chio and Eli. I think at the training session, Chio said he would be back soon. And a few weeks before that, Edwards said that Chio would be just after Sambi and just after the likes of Osho. So it's a possibility, but like you said, with Rob Edwards, you absolutely never know. So it'd be nice to have someone like Chio back. He progresses the ball so well for us. And that's something we massively miss without Bell, without him. Obviously, Barkley is the only one at the moment that can really do it. So getting him in the team, especially away from home against someone like Wolves, would be massive.
Yeah, I do agree with you there. I think this would be the ideal game for someone like Chio to come back, especially if we do, you know, tactically, are we going to change somewhat? Are we going to suck them in and play on the counter? Something that, you know, we can be so effective at when we've got Chio. But at the same time, when we are trying to progress through the thirds, he's that outlet for Ross Barkley when he's turning in the middle of the pitch. He's just such a useful player to have, regardless of how we want to play, regardless of how we approach a game. Somebody that's been fantastic for us this season. If I remember rightly, was it Wolves where he had what we considered his best game? When he was on the left and he was against... Was he against Semedo? And he was just fantastic, or was that a different one?
I mean, for me, I think ironically it was Brighton at home, in that sort of that role he played there was just electric. But yeah, I mean, he's had many excellent performances. It might have been Wolves, but I completely agree with both you and Lewis. It'd be a huge addition back for us, either in like a wing back role. Obviously Iss is playing really well at the minute, but don't really think Hashi's quite there, so it's always good to have that depth at right wing back. And I think Chong's doing really well. I do like Clark in that sort of wide role, but I think his best position, I think, is probably in the two, a centre mid alongside Barkley if Sambi needs sort of managing. So just to have a sort of a Chio, Chong and Morris front three, I think, is really exciting, especially on that counter. I rate Mats Kilman really well, but I think either side of him, you've got Breno and Totti probably can be got at, and especially when you have Chog and Chio either side. If Morris can just handle Kilman and just sort of try and keep him central, I would really back Chong and Chio to have a lot of joy down those wide areas.
I think I might have got it wrong earlier, because moving on to speak about the fixtures coming up, is it Everton that have got Brentford this coming weekend, not Forest?
Yeah, they do at home, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I knew Brentford could help us out in one way, but yeah, it was just against another side. Looking at the fixtures, of course, we mentioned Nottingham Forest, Man City, and before Everton have two fixtures because they play Liverpool tomorrow. Then, of course, the game against Brentford that we mentioned. Potential there, Finn, if we win against Wolves, and I know we're talking big ifs here, and you know, Everton don't pick up anything against Liverpool, which I guess you expect at this stage, and against Brentford, touch and go. You know, you go into that Everton game and that becomes, if it's not massive already, it becomes, you know, absolutely monumental.
Yeah, we really need to be looking to drag them back into the fight. And that will probably be down to their own doing and their own results as well as our results as well. So we're better off if we can get Wolves and Forest and Everton both trying to battle their way away from the relegation zone, because we've got two potential teams that we can catch. But I think the other concern that we've now got is Burnley are only 2 points behind us. So we really need to be looking over our shoulder as well and looking to just keep above them. Yeah. Although they have got some tough fixtures coming up, so I'm not sure if they'll pick up any results. I think they've got, I'm not sure who they've got in the next game, but on the weekend they've got
United away, Newcastle at home, Spurs away or something like that. So yeah, they've got crazy fixtures all day. I mean, is United a crazy fixture nowadays? It's probably up for debate.
I think Forest is last game of the season for them as well.
Huge.
So that could be an interesting game for every team in the relegation battle.
And you still want to pick up points, don't you? If only could keep picking up points, so much so that there's something riding on that last game, you know, that could make things very, very interesting for us.
Yeah, you want it as much as sort of like, but you think a Burnley win, if we don't win, keeps Burnley up, and obviously then it's over to us to win and hope Burnley beat Forest, right? That would be a sort of a great outcome. Clearly, obviously, we need to do our own business. I think all these ifs and buts, and I think it's always worth talking about permutations, but we fundamentally need to probably get at least two wins and a draw in these four. So if we can take a bit of the pressure off and get a draw at Wolves and it turns it into two wins from three, that's massive. Equally, if we can get a win, and then obviously 4 points from the last three would be, sort of takes to the pressure of even more. But a loss, as much as it's not damaging as far as Premier League status, it's just makes those last three games really is like you can't afford to lose at all. So yeah, I think it's big from a sort of a forward looking pressure perspective, just to take a bit of the edge off the Everton game and then the West Ham away and then going into Fulham. We've used the word lots, but massive.
Four Premier League games left to go, and survival is very much in our own hands. What a place to be. We're going to head into a short break, but when we're back, we're going to give you our relegation threatened 11s.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We are back for part two of today's episode, and switching things up, we are doing our relegation threatened 11. It's something I saw on YouTube on Pitch Side first. They got it horrifically wrong, so I thought, what could the Oak Road Hatter boys do? Rules is that you have to use at least one player from each team of the five teams in the relegation battle. So that's, of course, Everton, Forest, us, Burnley, Sheffield United. Then we can only have a max of 3 players from a particular club, and we've got any formation. It could be absolutely ridiculous, but we want to try and have the best one. So I think it's not going to be too outrageous. Jamie, I'm going to come to you first, and I want to know your goalkeeper of this relegation threatened 11.
It's got to be Kaminski. Statistically, in terms of XG saved, he's the best. I think if you look across, you've got, I mean, Pickford's England's number one, but he's made quite a few mistakes this year. So, sorry, JP. Then you've got Gurbic. It's just ruled out Sheffield United because, yeah. In Forest have had like 3 different keepers. Haven't quite got one right yet. James Trafford, low. Don't really need to talk too much about him. Although Murić obviously come in, done better, but still had 2 absolute stonkers. So I think it's, for me, a fairly straightforward one. Thomas Kaminski.
Finn, Kaminski as well, or have you gone elsewhere?
So I wanted to go Kaminski, but I wanted to get other Luton players in elsewhere. So for me, I've gone Jordan Pickford. I think him being England number one really makes it probably a shout that even if Everton were to go down, I think someone would snap him right up.
And Lewis, have you gone for either, or have you thrown another name into the hat?
There's another name in the hat that Jamie probably won't quite like. I have gone for England's under-21 starting keeper in James Trafford. The problem I had was getting a Burnley player into this 11. So I thought the best of the bunch is probably Trafford, and it's a bit of an investment for down the line. he might come good in a few years. I just needed to get a Burnley player in, and I thought he's not that awful, and he's better than Murić, so.
Yeah, tactical approach. I've gone for Kaminski. Again, I nearly had the same issue as Finn, where I had Luton players elsewhere, but I think I made it work elsewhere. So Kaminski, I do think he's the best of the 5 starting goalkeepers. So I'm happy I got him in. As Jamie alluded to, save percentage, the just some of the saves. He's kept us in games this season, but also I think his kicking's improved as the season's gone on. His general distribution's improved, and I think, a top signing. We'll go on to the back line, Jamie. Also, give us your formation whilst you're at it.
So I've just gone for a 4-2-3-1. Thought it's fairly bog standard. It's like the modern day 4-4-2 nowadays, isn't it? So 4-2-3-1. This was the tough one because I started out doing it, and then I realised I had 4 Forest, so I thought, shit, I better change someone. So the person that got booted out after me completing it was Nico Williams at right back. I've just figured across there with everyone else, I thought there wasn't too many options. But I changed him to Seamus Coleman. I think the reason being that is Everton are probably one of the best defensively out of the 5. I think Jordan Pickford, 10 clean sheets, 9 clean sheets. So they're the side that have kept the most clean sheets. I think quite rightly there should be a bit of Everton dominance in defence. And I mean, spoiler, there's no Everton midfielders or attackers, given the opposite is true in terms of the defence. So Coleman at right back. Centre half, so I think actually is a pretty very good CB partnership and probably would be a European fighting one. I've gone for Murillo and Branthwaite. A nice partnership, I think, for me. You've got Murillo, who's, I think he gets a lot of stick in terms of how heavy handed he has been, especially with Pelly at the Kenny, but I think he's a very good centre half. He's had almost 2 incredible goals that have just missed, obviously, the one against us and the one against Spurs. So I think well worthy of that starting spot. Jared Branthwaite was a bit, ironically now, one of my sort of players I would love to see Luton sign last summer, and he's just gone on leaps and bounds this season. Should be in the England 25 come the summer. So I think quite rightly gets in there. And then left back was really tough because I don't think there's one outstanding left back. So I think I've just gone based on availability, and I think Alfie Doughty has been fairly consistent in terms of availability. I think if you look across the the board? Do you think Charlie Taylor's been okay, but yeah, not probably isn't the best. I mean, Sheffield United have had been playing a bit of Okoke at the back in terms of left backs, right backs, etc. So they've not really had a solid start at one. Mikulenko wasn't really convinced. Toffolo and Aina sort of been in and out as well. So I think Alfie Doughty just was the one that made most sense. So yeah, Coleman, Murillo, Branthwaite and Doughty is my back four.
Finn, who's your back four / five?
So I've gone with a four, and I've gone with a 4-2-3-1 as well. At right back, I've gone Nico Williams. I think he's probably been the standout right back of the bottom five clubs. Obviously, we're playing right wing backs, but I wouldn't say that there's been a better defensive option for us at right wing back. And then I completely forgot Murillo existed, and I went with Mengi on the right side, who I think is a great shout anyway. He's been probably our standout defender this season, and he's still only 21, which is unbelievable when you see his stature. And alongside Mengi, I've got Branthwaite as well. And then on the left, I also went with Doughty, and I think that attacking threat from him really sort of secures his place in most teams in the bottom half of the table. I can see there being a lot of interest in him in the summer as well. So that's Nico Williams, Tedden Mengi, Jared Branthwaite, and Alfie Doughty.
Interesting stuff. Lewis, are you going to make it 3 out of 3 for 4-2-3-1s? And who is your backline?
I went more of a 4-3-3 with one holding, but I can change to a 4-2-3-1 for ease's sake. So I've got two of the same. I've got Branthwaite and Doughty, so I won't touch too much on them. It's been covered off by Jamie and Finlay quite well. At right back, I've actually gone for Jaden Bogle. Whenever I've seen him play, whether that be Championship or Premier League, he's actually always impressed me. He's strong, he's quick, and I knew he's a Sheffield United player. So that covered that off. Alongside Branthwaite, I've gone for his Everton teammate in Tarkowski. The man just seems to win everything and be a shithouse at the same time. So you need a bit of shithouser in the team. Tarkowski took that mantle for me.
Brilliant stuff. I've gone for five at the back. I'm the only one that stayed true to Luton Town, except I've done five at the back, then a diamond, and then one up top. It's a rogue formation, but I back it. But I've gone Lorenz Sinyon, Burnley right back, at right wing back. I think he's been somewhat of a revelation there. I always thought Fatinho was really good, but then I think Burnley fans started falling out of love with him and he wasn't viewed in the same light. But it seems that Sinyon's come in defensively and offensively, been really effective. And he seems to have won over the Burnley fan base, and I needed a bit of Burnley. So he goes in at right wing back. Then I've got the very best of the debate between the centre-back. So I've got Mengi at right centre-back, even though I would prefer him as the most central. But that allows me to have Branthwaite central and then Murillo on the left side. For all reasons that everyone else has spoken about. Murillo is a little bit of a shithouse, but he is very good at what he does. Branthwaite as well. Very good stature, very composed on the ball, wins a lot in the air as well. He's been very good. Left wing back, I've also gone Everton. I've gone Mikulenko. It was between him and Doughty. I think there could be arguments for both. I think Mikulenko hasn't been outstanding, but I don't think he's been too disappointing. I think he's been quite consistent this season. So that concludes my back line. Mikulenko at left wing back, Sinyon at right wing back, and then the back three of Mengi, Branthwaite and Murillo. Jamie, we'll hear your midfield now. So that will be the two and the three.
Yeah. So my sitters are Ross Barkley, because there ain't nobody like him. And then just because I needed Burnley, I went for Cullum. I feel like he's probably one of Burnley's best players. I think he's very reliable. Probably someone that I'd quite like to see in a Luton shirt if Burnley to go down and we stay up. I think Barkley and Cullen sort of pivot in that sort of 3-4-3 sounds really good. If we and can't guess Zambi, that is. So they're the sitters. And then in the, I guess, the more advanced three midfielders, stroke, wide forwards, I've gone for Gibbs White in the 10. I think a bit of a no-brainer, really. I think he's an excellent player. Technically, probably one of the best across the relegation threat and five, bar, of course, Ross Barkley. On the right, I've gone for Ogbeni, which rounds out my three Luton. I think he's just got the pace. He's just electric. I think, especially with Seamus Coleman behind him, just sort of shoring up that back four, I think Chio just would just have license to do whatever he wants, really, and can probably do any left back in the league. And then on the left, again, just because I need Sheffield United, I've gone for Benjamin Brereton Diaz. I think he's had a very, very good 4 months since he came in January. Probably exactly what Sheffield United have needed. I can't remember exactly how many goals, but certainly sort of 4 or 5 in sort of 10 games. So to be a 1-in-2 man at Sheffield United, relegation threatened at Premier League level, isn't bad going. So Barkley and Cullen sitting with Chidozie Ogbeni, Gibbs White and Brereton Diaz as my advanced three midfielders.
Finn, you were 4-2-3-1 as well, so let's have your two sitters and your three more advanced.
Yep, so I've also gone with Barkley. I think that's probably the no-brainer for all of the teams, really. You've got to have him in there. But next to him, I've gone for Amadou Onana. I think when he's been in form, and particularly not just this season as well, but last season, he's looked really, really good. And I think there'll be a few teams potentially showing some interest in him from Everton. Then in front of them, I've also gone for Morgan Gibbs-White. He's another one. I think he's probably another standout player. Maybe attacking-wise, he might be the best of the options. But then I needed to get my Burnley and my Sheffield United players in. So on the right, I've gone for James McAtee. And I know he's on loan, but I think he's probably been their best player this season. And we've got his brother coming back next season, so maybe we can go after both of them. But I think he could cause some threat on the right, which he has done for them. Then on the left, he's not played since the early stages of the season, but he looked absolutely brilliant. And that is Luka Koliosho. So I've gone for him on the left and McAtee on the right. I think if Koliosho was still fit, he'd probably be scoring a few for Burnley and maybe they'd be in a better position than they currently are. So that's Barkley, Onana, Gibbs-White, McAtee and Koliosho.
And Lewis, what about your midfield nine?
Well, it's going to sound very boring now, but so my two sitters are Onana and Barkley. As everyone's touched on, Barkley is Barkley, and who does Barkley things? Onana is a physical profile that's not seen too often. He's good technically, but he's massive. And at times he is a bit lackadaisical on the ball, but he can also be magnificent. You've seen the likes of Arsenal linked with him, which shows he's clearly a very good player. And ahead of them two, Gibbs-White, an excellent player. I think the only reason Forrest got him from Wolves is simply the FFP reason. Otherwise, he'd still be a Wolves player because he really does have that ability to play top half of the league. And on the sides of them two that I'm amazed haven't been spoken about yet in a Nottingham Forest duo of Alanga and Hudson-Odoi. Alanga absolutely tore us apart at the City Ground. I think it was Issa Kabore on the day. No, Reece Burke it was. I think he was very happy to see the end of that session because he's rapid, he is a goal threat. And the same goes Hudson-Odoi. I can't remember what goal it was. It's live on Sky and he's wrapped it into the top right corner and it was a beautiful goal. And he has that ability. That's why he was at Chelsea for as long as he was. So they are my two wide players.
Yeah, there are a lot of similarities at this point for my diamond. I'm thinking now I'd have to bring Nathan Jones back to deploy. He'd have to be my manager. I've gone Barkley sitting. As we've all mentioned, Barkley has been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, there's been links of Manchester United wanting him. You know, he has that ability to play there and thrive there. Absolute credit to the scouting team and recruitment bringing him in, and it's just been a glorious year, hasn't it, watching him play. We've been fortunate enough to see him, and you know, you think of all the injuries we've had, we've been fortunate enough to have an injury-free Ross Barkley, which Lucky us. So he's sitting by himself. Then I've got the two around him just ahead of Onana. Again, for the reasons that have been mentioned, his physical frame, his ability on the ball, his desire out of possession, he covers a lot of ground. He's sort of an ideal midfielder, works hard and has ability. Next to him, I've gone Gus Hamer. Still wish we would have got him in the summer, but I think it proved a bit too expensive. Still think he'd be a fantastic addition to Luton Town. Yeah, a lot of ability on the ball. I think he struggled a bit at the start to sort of adapt to Premier League level, but has been better as the season's worn on. And then just ahead, I've gone Morgan Gibbs-White. And you know, in terms of talent and footballing ability, it's probably him and Ross Barkley that sort of lead the team here. Creativity, vision, execution of his passes and sort of through balls. He is a sort of a joy to watch, and I could not have a team where he's not involved. So that rounds up my little diamond of Barkley, Onana and Hamer, and then ahead of them, Gibbs White. We'll come on to the striker position, and if I'm right, everybody's just got one striker to give. Jamie, I'll come to you first.
For me, again, probably a fairly simple one. I mean, shout outs to Carlton Morris. I think it's been really good, but doesn't get it. Calvert-Lewin, if he had two working legs, would probably get it, but quite clearly doesn't. Lyle Foster's always been in and out. McBurney, yeah, fits the shithouse bracket, but I just don't like him. So that leaves, I believe, the highest scoring of the lot, which is Chris Wood. If it wasn't for him, we'd probably have got 6 points against Forest this year, so we'd be pretty much safe already. But alas, the Kiwi from, I think, Leeds as well. I think it's Leeds. He's been the thorn in our backside. So yeah, Christopher Wood, you're annoying because you've taken points off us this year, but you are in my relegation threatened XI.
And Finn, what about you?
Yeah, so I've also gone with Chris Wood. I think in the end, it was a bit of a no-brainer. He's been absolutely brilliant for Forest this season. And if it wasn't for sort of the initial rotation and a few injuries to him as well, I think he'd probably be on a fair few more goals as well. I wanted to get Eli in there, but I couldn't overlook Chris Wood. So yeah, Chris Wood for me.
And Lewis, is it 3 out of 3 for Chris Wood, or have you gone elsewhere?
It is not. I've gone home. I've gone for Eli. I think he was so good in that game against Brighton as well. He couldn't stop him. There's plenty of defences, even when he hasn't scored, where I'm just like, Jesus, who was that player for Luton? He terrorised our defenders. And I think with the team behind him, he could definitely get a few more goals than he has for this season, which is a few in itself. And that rounds off the relegation threatened 11.
Yeah. It was difficult because obviously Colton Morris and Elijah, I think both are shouts. Both have done very well. I think Elijah's scoring record this season has been really impressive. Is it 9 in 13 starts and then an extra 10 appearances or something like that, which is a very good minutes per goal. But obviously not playing the full season has sort of hindered him in that way. Yeah, I've gone for Chris Wood, top goal scorer of the relegation threatened clubs. Absolutely fantastic this season. I don't think he gets the credit he deserves as well, because he's not, I don't know, I think he's perceived in a certain way, and he's just so effective at what he does. He runs channels well, but he's also so strong and you know, unbeatable in the air sometimes and sort of links the play very well. It had to be Chris Wood. I think we've all joked here about Burnley and not being able to get Burnley players in. But I think Fofana has been really impressive. I think Lyle Foster is a top striker. Even Odubeh, who's only 18 or might just turn 19. They do have some really exciting attackers. And I think, Finn, you might have mentioned Cole Osho as well. Another really exciting player. So, yeah, I did feel a little bit like I've done Burnley a little bit hard with just the one player at right wing back. But yeah, I'm quite confident in my team, and I think listening to your threes as well, I think you can be confident in there. Anybody in the comments or on social media, let us know who has got it most right, who has got it most wrong. Is there anyone we've missed as well? Because I'm sure there's got to be a name out there that we've completely missed. And there'll probably be fans of opposition clubs that might stumble onto this that might have their say as well. But that was our relegation threatened 11s. Circling right back, and of course this is the Wolves preview, so we will end on something Wolves related, and that is our score prediction. Lewis, I'll reverse the order, and I want your score prediction for Saturday's game.
Thanks for that one, Bill. I want to see what everyone else said first. It's a tough one. They have a lot of attacking threat, and against Arsenal they didn't create much, but we love to concede some goals. So I'm going to go hopeful. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win. Toss that is, sorry. Just point out.
Finn, what about you?
Yeah, I'm going to be hopeful with it as well. If they had Pedro Neto fit, I'd probably fear them that bit more, but because he's probably not going to be fit, I've got a little bit more confidence. It might be blind faith, it might be genuine confidence, but we'll have to wait and see till Saturday. But I've also gone for Luton 2-1.
Jamie, are you optimistic as well, or is it another 5-1 defeat incoming?
I am, but unlike Finn, it's not blind faith. It's just let's be up for it, boys. Come on, like we've been on the back of two drubbings. Okay, 5-1. It's back to basics. It's a bit of a kick up the backside that some of the players probably needed. I think we've played well for large parts of the season. We had a bit of a sort of a down performance against Brentford. Rob Edwards knows exactly what went wrong, exactly what needs to change. We've had two very tight games against Wolves in terms of the friendly and then the 1-1 at the Kenny. I think back to basics. We're going to revert to the Luton of old. We're going to go away and keep a clean sheet, I think, what, a third of the season. And Elijah Adebayo is going to make a substitute appearance, not quite fit enough to start. And to be fair, with Chio and Chong are either side of Morris, I think Eli will come back on the bench, but he'll come on. He will skin Max Kilman and he'll stick it in the bottom corner to send that sideline away end into raptures. So, yeah, Wolverhampton Wanderers 0, Luton Town 1.
And to everybody watching and listening, I really, really wish we could have ended it there. What a positive note that would have been to end get geared up for this massive, massive game. But I will bring things back down to earth with a 2-1 defeat. I've grown wary that I've been a bit too positive in my score predictions of late, and it transpired into not the best results. So if I go 2-1 defeat, we'll play well. The usual, will just be edged. Hopefully it goes the other way and we can nick a 2-1 win. But I'm going to go 2-1 Wolves. And that just about concludes everything for today. A big thank you to the three of you for joining me. It's good to get four back on a call. And of course, we are trying to hit the 600 subscriber mark on YouTube. So again, a big call for anybody that hasn't subscribed yet and likes the show, please hit that subscribe button. Until after this Wolves game, when we're reviewing it, it is goodbye from us.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.